Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop. That is the foursome. If you want to jump on, you can call some AAA Always On Call listener lines at 800-636-1067. Also text us on the Times Creek Windows text machine. Same number. Standard message data charges may apply. And you can always tweet us at Junks Radio. 7 o'clock, so time to hit the skins, and it's game day.
Mm-hmm. Big game today.
Monday happy hour games.
Pre-6 p.m. kickoffs. They're
the best.
Thing of beauty.
Now, here's the thing. We were talking about it for most of the first hour of the show today. In a lot of ways, you can almost say the season kind of hinges on this one for Washington if they want to keep pace with the Giants. Big win over Seattle yesterday, which really puts Washington in a hole here. Now, the good news is, as we talked about, Pittsburgh coming off a short week with that Wednesday game against the Ravens. But they are undefeated. They're scoring 28 a game. And even though Washington's doing some things well, they certainly got their work cut out for them. They've got their scoring average up to 22 points per game. Alex Smith is playing, I would say, solid. Washington's 3-2 in their last five. Maybe the biggest surprise has been the emergence of Antonio Gibson, right? He's been a huge factor for them. I think Cakes, you may know sort of off the top of your head, what's he averaging, about four and a half yards per carry, something like that?
4.6, and yeah. You know, he's coming off obviously his career highs in just Washington smashing Dallas on Thanksgiving. He had 20 carries, he had 25 touches, he was targeted 7 times in the passing game, he had 3 touchdowns. I mean, he was the focal point of the offense.
Right, so he's going to be a key factor, I'm sure, for Pittsburgh. They're obviously going to try to slow down Gibson, right? That'll be probably their number one goal. And then they're going to get to the quarterback. I mean, one sort of calling card for Washington's defense has been their ability to pressure the quarterback. I think when you look at them statistically around the league, they're about fifth in sacks. So Washington has 36 sacks, which is actually tied for third. But you know who's first? Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a big challenge for Washington's offensive line, which I thought going into the season would be a huge sieve for Washington, but they've performed admirably. Morgan Moses has moved around. He's played much better than he did last year. Brandon Scherff, if you look at Pro Football Focus's ratings, I believe he's in the top five for guards for how he's played. And Chase Roullier is up there too, also playing very well, rated highly. I think even Schweitzer has played admirably too when you look at sort of how he grades out with Pro Football Focus. So that's going to be the key right there. How does Washington's offensive line hold off those monsters for Pittsburgh that can pressure and get to the quarterback?
Well, I think part of it is going to fall on the running backs as far as quick pass catching out of the backfield. I think you're going to see an uptick in McKissick's involvement today because, as you mentioned, you don't want that pressure coming down on Alex Smith. And what's the quickest way to get the ball out? Get it to McKissick, get it to Gibson, maybe a little bit of Logan Thomas in there. There aren't going to be a lot of long developing plays downfield for Terry McLaurin and company.
I think the Steelers get after the quarterback, but they took a huge hit losing Bud Dupree. He was our second leading sack guy with 8 sacks. Mm-hmm. So Bud Dupree's out towards ACL. you know, you still got to deal with T.J. Watt, who's got 11 on the year.
He's really
and
good.
I'm not saying that they're not going to get after him, but that's a huge hit for the Steelers' defense.
Yeah. And then offensively for Pittsburgh, you just assume that Ben, even though he's older and he's had some injuries and he's battling, you know, that knee issue, whatever that is.
Well, I think also, is he wearing a boot too?
He's just not going to make – now, he can make physical mistakes, but he's not going to make the mental mistakes. I mean, he's too good. He gets rid of the ball. He never gets sacked. There's a good balance there for offensively for them. They're just well coached. You got to play your A-plus game to beat
them.
They're
only averaging – giving up 17 points per game, Pittsburgh. So you got to do some work
to
score points against them. Yeah,
and you don't want to fall behind because Washington got the win last week. They finally grabbed the lead in the first half, and that allowed them to keep feeding the ball to Antonio Gibson. You don't want to fall behind in this game and let those pass rushers come right after you. But, look, I think that Pittsburgh, the things that Washington has going for them relating to Pittsburgh is Pittsburgh's coming off a short week. They lost Bud Dupree, so they don't have their second leading sack guy. And I don't know. Like, Ben, if you watched a game last week, he did not look good against the Ravens.
He didn't look good.
Right.
No doubt.
You know,
but that's even more of a reason to think that they're going to come back and look sharp, even
though
they had,
they
had a short week.
Yeah, if you want to chime in.
They focused on that. Although Ben, I don't think, practiced.
Yeah.
He's actually listed as questionable, but I know we all assume he's going to play. Also, Terry McLaurin listed as questionable, but again, we're assuming he's going to play. He's been kind of listed that way the last couple weeks.
They're both going to go.
And he's dealing with a lingering ankle injury. Well, seems like he's been able to get through it during practice.
Jay Glazer on the Fox pregame said yesterday that he talked to Tomlin, and Tomlin said, yeah, he's questionable just because he's got this knee problem and he's old and he needs time off, but he's going to go.
Yeah.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067, do you think Washington has a shot to beat the Steelers, and how do they do it? Let's go to our pal Kevin from Glory Days. He's a Steelers guy.
Oh,
what's up,
really?
Kevin? I'm sure he has a real unbiased opinion.
What's going on, guys?
What's up?
Well, I'd be lying if I didn't say I was concerned. I'm not scared, but I'm quite concerned about Washington's running game and their passing game. I'm real concerned about Bud Dupree being out, and they also are out with Devin Bush. And they gave up a ton of yards both games against Baltimore. I think the only thing they have going is Tua's coming back. It's in Pittsburgh. I don't think Washington has won since 1991 in Pittsburgh, so I think that's what they got. But I'm quite concerned. I'm just looking for Tomlin to get their act together because last week was horrible, and coming off a four-day rest against Washington has 9 days. I'm concerned.
Tua's the other defensive end who's got, I think, 9 sacks.
I have a couple betting angles for you. We touched on this earlier in the week, but since the start of the 2019 season, Washington is 2-5 straight up and against the spread against teams from the AFC. Washington has also gone 7-3 though against the spread when they're underdogs of 10 or more. Meanwhile, the Steelers, when they're favored by double digits, they've gone 1-7, so against the spread. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the number is right now. Last I saw it was about 8.5 or 9.
It's dropped to 6.5.
Is it dropped that much? So it's nowhere near what it was earlier in the week.
Yeah, it's dropped. A lot of the money, 71% or 72% of the public money coming in on Washington right now.
By the way, do you want a nugget from our friends at BetQL?
Yes.
Ron Rivera's teams have gone 13-2 straight up, coming off a double-digit road win in his career.
Right. Drabby, can you find the J.P. Finley nugget? He tweeted it about how Washington does after they score 40 points. That was a dreary nugget. It was not.
I think
one
it was that they lost their last 6 times.
Yeah, it's something gross.
We're gonna have J.P. Finley on, by the way, in 10 minutes.
By the way, also Ron Rivera's teams have gone 45-21 against the spread, coming off of a road game in his career.
That's good.
That's really good.
Let me see. The under is 7-1 cakes in Washington's last 8 games versus a team
unders
with
boring.
A winning record. It's also 3-0-1 in the Steelers' last 4 games overall. So what is the total right now?
42.5.
Yeah.
Shocker, I picked the over on the Fatties on Friday.
Yeah, you did.
I need
did.
A points bonanza tonight in the Steel City.
This, I don't know. Since Alex has taken over, and clearly the offense has picked up, you can even see statistically, they're now averaging 380 yards per game since Alex took over versus an average of 325 before. So even though Alex isn't putting up big numbers, he did that one game, right? What did he pass for? He
had, 390.
Yeah, 390 in that one game.
You think he bragged about his 390 in the locker room?
Like I doubt
somebody
it.
Whose name I won't mention.
You think right.
He hyped it up?
Just remember, it's been a dog year in the NFL. Big
it
time.
Has.
And Antonio Gibson, who we touched on earlier, is averaging 5 yards per carry. And let me see. He's got 7 scores since Alex took over. So a lot of his production has gone way up. What is kind of disturbing, and I know we know this sort of intuitively, but it really is shocking when you look at sort of the breakdown of the distribution. So Terry McLaurin's got 102 targets, right? And he should, right? He's their best, arguably their best player, most explosive receiver. After that, the next highest receiver with targets is, now, not counting Logan Thomas, right?
Probably
who's
McKissick.
Tight end.
Right, a wide receiver.
Well, yeah, I'm talking about the wide receiver is Dontrell Inman with 28 targets.
Yeah.
So you go from targeting McLaurin. So if you take McLaurin out, if you can focus on him, they don't have any other targets at receiver that have got more than 28.
Right. Well, that's
they got
why
no
they
other weapons.
That's why they need to pick a receiver within the first, I would say, 2 or 3 rounds of the upcoming draft.
Because 100% they will.
You can't just keep trotting out Cam Sims and Dontrell Inman and expect to have a dynamic offense. You need another real threat opposite McLaurin.
I mean they were hoping
McKissick,
guy.
McKissick
Jeff
and Bidette, Gibson.
Cakes.
McKissick
Bidette.
And Gibson have a combined 107 targets.
Yeah. Antonio Gandy Golden.
To get a catch,
we were hoping for We were hoping for Antonio Gandy Golden, but he's got one catch this year.
It's
been targeted 4 times.
2020 is the lost year for AGG.
Yeah,
it's going to be 2021.
Just he's trending, not working out.
He's trending towards Josh Doctsonville.
Well,
right now he would kill for Josh Doctson's career. Right now,
Josh Doctson laughs at him.
But they're going to draft. They're going to draft a receiver, if not in the first round, and definitely in the second.
They need to
second or third.
Inman's got 28 targets. Isaiah Wright's got 27. Steven Sims has been banged up with injury. He's only got 19. Cam Sims, who's come on of late, has 15 targets. They don't have any receiving threats that you really have to be worried about outside of McLaurin.
You've kind of come around on that. We've been telling you that since week one.
Well, I like them. I like some of those guys and their skill sets, but they're not targeted consistently. They're just random.
Because they don't get open consistently.
Well, I think also partly is because they've been hurt. Isaiah Wright's been hurt. He's not explosive, but you know I think he can make plays. Steven Sims been hurt. Mm. Inman is just, they just fill him in. They just plug him in when they have to.
He's a jag. I mean, he just is. He's a guy who was signed in August and thrown out of the roster.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't want to be too down, but I'm trying not to get,
they've got, you don't want to be.
I don't know. It's hard because I feel like we're going to lose. So.
You're expecting a loss. And that's
it's hard to get excited.
You're bracing yourself.
Yeah, it's hard to get excited. I feel like we're going to lose. It's a shame. We blew 2 games against the Giants, and it's going to come back to haunt us.
Something has to be unexpected tonight for them to win. I mean, Ben's got to throw a couple picks. You know, they've got to create short fields. Gibson has to have another great game.
Maybe they could pressure, you know, Ben into a quick throw and somebody can jump a route.
Remember,
and, you know, Jimmy Moreland can run back in for a pick 6 or something.
My Friday bold prediction, getting to the over, basically is going to require each team to have a defensive score. I just feel like
that's
Chase
your
Young
tingle
has made,
play.
It's my tingle
so you think
play.
It's going to be a low-scoring dud tonight?
No,
Kick?
I think it's, I
no,
picked
he,
the over.
The over.
I'm
no.
over the number. That's I'm the only guy on the planet.
There's nothing like predicting an over, but needing 2 defensive touchdowns
to get
there.
Yeah, but that's what
I'm saying. That's part of my
formula
of getting to the over,
because
Ricky.
Defensive touchdowns are quite common.
So when
they're
someone says
on, trust
the
me.
Only way they're going to hit the over is by getting a defensive touchdown,
no, two,
I would think
2 defensive
one
touchdowns.
One on each side.
Well, then you should be betting the under.
It's a flawed system, and I'll never pick an under, ever. It'll never happen.
Play the lotto, Giggs.
He does.
I probably should. I mean, Drav, you seen the numbers of late? They're over 200 million each.
By the way, Fatty's contest got a little bit more interesting because Bickle's teaser was a loser.
Who killed me? The Chargers?
Oh, yeah, they got pumped.
Yeah, you had the Chargers plus six. You needed them plus 46.
Yeah, believe me, I had the Chargers at, you know, in real money killed me. What the hell is going on there?
What if I would have given you the Chargers plus 38 points?
Would have taken it.
Of course, in a tease.
Yeah, you would have put your whole 401k on it.
Yes, you would.
Unbelievable.
All right, we mentioned the stat, which J.P. Finley had put out. Coming up next, he will join us, insider that covers the Washington football team for NBC Sports Washington. We'll keep talking about this Washington-Pittsburgh matchup right here on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chunky's brought to you by FH Fur Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical on a football Monday, talking about the early afternoon games for the Washington Redskins, now known as the Washington football team, taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. And joining us right now is our pal J.P. Finley, covers WFT for NBC Sports Washington. What's up, J.P.?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me.
Hello, Mr. Finley.
So Eric kept referencing the tweet that you had sent out about kind of the disturbing trend of when they score 40, then they lay an egg the next game out. And that's not even dealing with their primetime issues, their Pittsburgh Steeler issues. Let's get into some of the critical matchups, though. Forget about all the trends. Let's just go offense versus defense. Washington has been playing better offensively. Alex and the offense seem to be clicking. They're coming off that big scoring game, but they're going up against the Steelers defense that definitely will bring a pass rush, even without Bud Dupree. How do you expect the offensive line to hold up?
It'll be interesting. I mean, they should have Cornelius Lucas back, and maybe that lets Morgan Moses get back to the right side of the line, and they can get a little more power going with Sheriff and Moses on the right side. Interesting to me is you said matchups. I think the most critical matchup in this game is going to be Washington's secondary against Pittsburgh's receivers. We know how good Juju Smith-Schuster is. Chase Claypool's been a monster for them. I mean, even Deontay Johnson, who's not nearly as big of a name, has been a really good receiver. Mm-hmm. And I think what Washington's going to need most is for those guys to tackle on the back end and limit the big plays. And just clean tackles and open space, which is hard to do, but I think that will be the key. I think you're going to see kind of similar to what the Bengals did a couple weeks back in the first half before Burrow got hurt, where there's just a ton of quick game, which will kind of, you know, negate Washington's pass rush. If Roethlisberger's getting the ball out in 2 seconds, which is what he
typically does this season. There's not a lot of big dropbacks for them. It's a lot of underneath quick stuff. That was working against Washington a couple weeks ago against the Bengals, and then they kind of buckled down in the red zone. I think Washington's going to have to do that today against Pittsburgh, and the key is to not let these guys get past you, which we've seen be a problem, especially when Troy Apke's on the field. And when they do, they're going to hit 15-yard, 20-yard passes. Tackle them. Don't let them break a tackle and go to the house.
Yeah, JP, I think you worry about all three receivers, obviously, but you just talked about the chunk plays, and their chunk play guy is the rookie, is Chase Claypool. He's like 6'4". He can get behind the defense. You worry about Johnson. You worry about Schuster with the underneath stuff, but the 50-yarder, that's going to be Claypool. Who do you think draws that assignment in the secondary?
It's hard to know. I mean, they typically aren't a team that would, like, try to match somebody up. But the thing with Claypool that is so difficult is that he's also huge. Yeah, I mean, he's 6'4", 240. Yep. So, and he's got the speed. I mean, he's a matchup nightmare. You'd think maybe that would be like a Landon Collins-type matchup, but he's hurt. So it'll have to be a team effort. Maybe they try to move Kendall Fuller around and get creative with him.
Is DeShazer playing tonight?
What's that?
Is DeShazer playing tonight?
He practiced, and I think the extra day of rest will help. I want to say yes, but I don't think we know definitively. Right. He practiced all 3 days last week, though.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
I mean, that helps for sure. Cam Curl's been playing well, but, you know,
like
he is a seventh-round rookie. But, yeah, I mean, and I like Curl because he's a good tackler, and we've seen for a decade how much trouble they have tackling from the safety spot. And DeShazer is not only a good tackler, he's a major hitter. So he's the kind of guy that the rest of the league knows is out there when he's playing. And that's a real thing, but we'll see how he is coming off that. The high ankle sprain is always tricky.
The thing that's annoying about what you talked about earlier, and we saw teams doing that, especially the Bengals, with that quick passing, and that's what Ben thrives Washington also tends to play soft coverage. And
yeah.
I would think the way you counter that is you got to get up on the guys. And I don't know why we don't do that, especially when you know they're going to try to hit you with those quick hitters.
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to maybe see some press or just to try to bump
to more
and run with the receivers. And they don't do that a ton. I don't know why. I don't know if that's a strategic thing or what. But if they're playing quick and you're 6-7 yards off the line of scrimmage, it's almost like they can get an 8-yard gain at will. And,
right.
And that's not ideal.
I, this is my guess. Look, I'm not a defensive coordinator. When you've given up 6 50-plus-yard touchdowns like the Washington defense has, or 6 catches of 50-plus yards, maybe you know that you're vulnerable to that, so you back off a little bit, because if you're playing press, you probably give up even more.
Yeah, I mean, the idea is that Ben's not going deep all that often, but I think you're right.
But if he sees that coverage, then he will.
Right. I think they clearly don't want to give up big plays, even though they are at kind of a staggering rate. I mean, even that Cowboys game, as well as they played, they still gave up a bomb to Cooper. So I think they don't like giving up the big plays. They try to keep everything in front of them. I mean, the most disturbing of all those was in the loss to the Lions, when they're clearly trying to get a Hail Mary shot going, and that guy, I can't remember the receiver's name right now, still got behind Troy Apke, and luckily Stafford wasn't able to connect. Ended up not mattering, but
right.
It's been a problem throughout the season with guys getting past their last line of defense, so maybe that's why you see the soft stuff, and maybe that's why they're going to try to buckle it in the red zone. Their red zone defense has been really good, Washington's has. And, I mean, in the Cowboys game, I think Dallas was in the red zone 3 times, and they held them to field goals each time, including, you know, when they had first and goal from the 1 and had a big stop there. So strategically, it's not a terrible idea. It tends to be a little more nerve-wracking when teams seem like they're just going up and down the field, and then you're trying to hold them to 3. I also think if they are trying to hold them to 3, Washington's going to have to score. And
yeah.
It's going to be interesting against that Pittsburgh defense. But, I mean, Washington's red zone defense is second in the league at giving up touchdown conversions. So there is some method to the madness. But against the Steelers team, it's going to be tough. Now, the offense is, has been better the last five games. They're averaging 27 a game. They're converting on third downs. They're winning time of possession. But, again, this deal, you got to wonder.
You're not playing the Bengals or the Cowboys. We get
that's what I was, exactly.
And then, JP, so after yesterday, I mean, this is kind of a must win after what the Giants did in Seattle. Because I mean,
yeah,
I know mathematically they're still in it. I get it. But, I mean, now you're going to be – you lose this game, you're essentially three games back with four to play. And
yeah, but right. It's still at the end of the day, you need to get to probably seven.
Seven wins.
Right?
Yeah.
You need to get to seven. So, yeah. I mean, they're not out of it if they lose tonight.
Not mathematically, but realistically.
They got to win three of their last five. And yeah. I think you'd look yep. at the Eagles game, the Panthers game, and then picking off one of Niners, Seahawks, Steelers. I think Steelers is probably the least likely to happen. But yesterday was a day of, you know, the Jets almost won. Like, who knows? Wacky things start happening when you get into December in the NFL. I just think it's a bad matchup. And I think the Steelers, I think maybe there was some hope of catching them because they just had the Ravens game. I can't remember who I think they play the Seahawks this coming week. Mm-hmm. They have another big matchup. The Bills, rather, excuse me. Try to kind of catch them sleeping on a bad Washington team. But the way Tomlin is and the way they seem so dialed in, I don't see that happening.
Plus,
I mean,
he was pissed off.
They're going for 16-0, man. I don't think they're sleeping on anybody.
Plus, he was pissed off with the way they played against the Ravens. So,
right. Yeah. Now, losing Dupree could have a much bigger impact than we're expecting. I mean, he and Watt were such a force kind of together, and that's a big deal. I mean, to me, losing Bud Dupree is a bigger deal to Pittsburgh's Super Bowl hopes because eventually – to get to the Super Bowl, they're going to have to play and beat Mahomes, and you need as many pass rushers as you can get against that guy. So I think big picture, losing Dupree is a huge deal. I'm not sure it makes that big of a difference this Monday afternoon.
Hey, JP, I made a bold prediction last week that I don't think Alex Smith's going to finish this game because Pittsburgh's just going to bring it, and I think when he took over – it's just kind of a do theory thing. When he took over, we all felt like he wasn't going to be the most durable guy and make it through the rest of the season as the starter. I wanted to ask you, though, about the backup, which is Dwayne Haskins. It seems like Ron Rivera and the staff have been very complimentary the last few weeks about him. What have you been hearing?
They're being complimentary as far as his role as the backup quarterback. But I don't think – whatever has happened there, I don't think all bridges have been mended. You know, I think there's still things that the organization wants to see from Dwayne. Maybe they're seeing more of it now that he's in the clear backup role, but I'm not sure. I think Rivera is choosing to just kind of say positive things because why wouldn't you? He's not on the field.
Gotcha. So you're not really buying it, is what you're saying.
We asked somebody else the same question last week.
He's saying the politically correct things.
We asked the same question last week. I can't remember of who, and he had the same answer that JP did.
I think it was Chris Russell.
Yeah, that it's just kind of like talk, but the fence hasn't been mended or whatever, sort of behind the scenes.
I honestly think on a lot of levels it's not top of mind out there. They're focused on trying to win this game and game planning for the Steelers, and Dwayne's just in the building doing his thing. You can only shine so much when you're the backup quarterback. You're not on the field at all during practice.
Well, I think people are reading into the fact that, like, Dwayne is going out there and involved, at least.
I've seen other times he's been detached.
I can high-five people. Come on. How much?
Right. Yeah. But that's how bad it had gotten. Like, Dwayne had looked so detached on the sidelines, but now at least it looks like he's involved. So I think that's why people are being somewhat positive. But that's how low the bar is.
Well, he was third string, EB. He got demoted. He wasn't even active.
Yeah.
I think the Dwayne stuff, especially right now for this team, is way more of a thing for us, like for the media, than it is for the organization or the team. Like, he's just a dude on the team right now. And for whether – I'm not saying that's good or bad. It's just – I don't think it's –
top of mind,
really
right.
on anybody's mind.
Over he's a non-story
like,
at this
it's
point.
It's not like if they lose tonight, like somebody already hit me up on Twitter, EB Junkies, and they're like, if they lose tonight, will they put Dwayne in? And I'm like, no.
No.
Because they're still in it. They're not going to put Dwayne in like next week against him. No. I mean, no. Dwayne will be lucky to maybe get a start, maybe, you know, like in week 17. Because they're not going to do it until they're eliminated officially.
Or if Alex is hurt.
Correct.
Or if Alex is
hurt. Sure, if Alex is hurt, then definitely.
Which, again, is my grasp of whole prediction theory.
Yeah, but you don't want to see Dwayne in there. You don't want to grasp for that to happen.
No, I want to see him in the mix.
Yeah, you want Alex to play because they got a better shot of winning.
Yeah. I mean,
the one thing that I've kind of thought interesting lately is, and obviously the Giants win in Seattle makes it tough, but if Washington wins the division and they drop in the draft to probably the 18th pick, something like that, I wonder if that clears a little bit more of a path for Dwayne staying on the roster next season. Like, all right, we're going to stick with Alex. We might as well keep Dwayne around. He can work with Alex for a real off season. We'll have OTAs. We'll have all these things he didn't get the opportunity to do. Mm-hmm. Because they know the trade value. I mean, you're giving away quarters on the dollar. You're just not going to get value back. And if they're not looking, because I think these four quarterbacks are going top 10. I think Fields and Lawrence for sure. I think Wilson will. And Trey Lance is such a wild card, but I think there's enough quarterback.
Dude, Kyle Trask looks legit.
I've been saying that for weeks. No one listens to
me. I'm starting to listen to you, Jason, and I watched him.
The kid at Bama looks pretty. Mac Jones.
Dude, hell yeah. The only problem with Jones and Trask is, you know, in this day and age, your quarterback has to run. That's why Zach Wilson and Trey Lance are going to probably go higher because they can run. But the Trask and Jones are, I mean, they've got NFL talent they're throwing to, but they're just really accurate. And
but I saw – Jason, I was impressed. I saw Trask throwing back shoulder passes.
No,
he's
really good. He just can't run.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the athleticism, especially if you look at, like, Kyler and what all these, like, QBs that can move a ton are able to do in the NFL, like, the theory of a mobile quarterback not making it, you have to be a pocket passer, that's dead now. Like, that is – I'm not saying everybody's going to be Lamar, but you need accuracy in the pocket and the ability to move, and that's kind of what these modern – I mean, one of the reasons Scott Turner loves Kyle Allen so much is how well he can move and make plays off schedule.
Yeah.
And Alex Smith used to have that. I mean, he doesn't really now. I don't know that that's coming back. But I do think it's interesting, especially if they won the division. Say they got to 7-9, won the division. This defense by the end of the year would probably have pretty powerful statistics. Mm-hmm. And then you can start to make the argument like, all right, if we get a left tackle, if we get a safety, if we get a game-changing middle linebacker, and you keep Dwayne. I don't know that that'll end up happening, but it's interesting compared to a few weeks ago, last month. And I still think an off-season trade is most likely, but it just kind of creates a different avenue as the season continues.
Yeah,
so, JP, I think you already kind of have let us know, but what is your official pick? You think the Steelers win pretty handily, huh?
Yeah, I do. I think it'd be an awesome story if they go up there and win. Honestly, I think it'd be good for them just to keep it tight and have a good game. But there's some disturbing trends, and above all of it, right? Like, I mean, the 40-point stat that you pointed out, EB, all that stuff. Like, Pittsburgh's just really good, and their defense is really good, and they've got crazy good weapons offensively. So Washington's going to really need their A game to keep up.
Yeah, and you probably shouldn't get carried away with Washington beating Dallas and the Bengals.
It's tough because you're right, but, like, all they can do is play the guys on their schedule. You know, like,
understood.
Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, Dallas is terrible. Cincinnati, I don't know that they would have won if Burrow doesn't get hurt.
I know, that's what I said. Yeah.
That's a big part of it, too.
With Burrow in there, Cincinnati was dominating the game, not on the scoreboard, but statistically they were.
Right. Now, I mean, the Bengals are a bad team. They find ways to lose. Who knows what would have happened. But I think the Seattle game or the Niners game is where Washington has to win. I think if they can beat San Fran next week, San Fran's kind of homeless. San Fran's situation right now is really pretty terrible.
It's bad, but they're getting healthy offensively.
Yeah, and they're a resilient team. They're in the Super Bowl. Kyle Shanahan is a great coach. And, so it's going to be hard.
All right, thank you, JP. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you, fellas. Take care.
Yeah, man. Good talk.
I just love the fact, and I know we've said this a few times, I just love the fact that there's a 5 o'clock game today.
I know. It's going to take forever to get to 5, though.
Oh, come on.
Oh, it'll be here so quick. 5 p.m. comes quick.
It'll be dark.
That's true. It will be dark.
So depressing that it gets dark.
Yeah, but it's better than waiting until 8:30.
That's true. That's true. All right, guys, since we can't go over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house this holiday season, we need to make sure our home sweet home is as warm and comfortable as possible. Drafty windows and high utility bills? Well, turn your no-no-nos into ho-ho-hos with the gift of Thompson Creek Windows' last big sale of the year. Buy one window, get one 40% off with no interest until July 2022. Let Thompson Creek make your season jolly and bright. Call 855-57-CREEK or visit thompsoncreek.com today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by FH Fur Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. We'll talk to our Washington football team insider for 106.7 The Fan, Chris Russell. He will jump on at 9 right now, though. Time for the Junkies Blitz, brought to you by Impress Technology, an SBA certified hub zone solution provider and Dell Federal partner. Let's start with the NFC powers. The Saints beat the Falcons 21-16. They continue to win with Taysom Hill under center. Taysom looked impressive passing the ball yesterday.
Not only that, he ran 14 times for 83 yards. He was their second leading rusher, only trailed Kamara by 5 yards.
He was better than last week, but the reason they won was because they ran for 220 yards.
And they've got a legit defense.
Defense is legit.
I didn't watch 1 second of that game because I didn't know where to bet. So I didn't watch 1 second of it. So he looked a little better. How did he look on his downfield passes?
He throws everything short.
He didn't really throw any bombs. It was all short and intermediate.
He could throw the short and intermediate stuff.
Yeah, I thought he made some good throws when I was watching.
But his deep balls, though, they're literally the worst I've ever seen in professional football.
That's because, he doesn't complete those. His longest completion was 20 yards.
All right, that's why Peyton keeps it all short and underneath.
Yeah, that's fine. He's good at that. But you can't do the long stuff.
Well, they're going to have to score more than 21 in the playoffs, so they need Drew Brees back big.
Well, he's close, apparently. He's practicing, close. Throwing.
Yep.
But even though he did find the end zone, Cakes mentioned this last week, and this is my own fantasy football bias getting in there. Kamara has been hurt by Taysom Hill at quarterback.
He certainly has.
Yeah.
He only had his receiving numbers yesterday. Look at his receiving numbers with Brees and then with Taysom Hill. He's fallen off a cliff when it comes to receptions. Had 2 yesterday. And this is a guy who, I think in each of the last 3 years, has caught 81 balls out of the backfield. He'd be lucky to get to that now.
So I said I was going to start with the NFC powers. The Saints right now have the best record in the NFC. The Packers are on their heels. They beat the Eagles 30-16. The big storyline in this game is Carson Wentz was benched.
Terrible.
They brought in Jalen Hurts.
You know what? Hurts should play the rest of the year. You drafted him in the second round. He might be the future. He can do – look, he wasn't fantastic, but at least he threw a touchdown pass. So he was in there for a scoring drive.
He had a nice pass down the sideline.
Yep.
And he can move around a little bit.
He can run, obviously. Wentz has no confidence. He was sacked four times again. I don't know what they're going to do. They're in a pickle because he signed that huge deal.
Yeah.
I think 70 or 75 million guaranteed last year. But Hurts might be the future. I would just
they
play Hurts.
They might be worse off than we are at that position.
Your biggest stealing money prop yesterday was the under Wentz passing yard prop. I think it was like at 160 or 170.
Did you jump on that, Cakes?
No.
I mean,
of course I didn't.
Yeah.
And by the way, Davante Adams is so freaking good.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know where he's going to end up ranking all time statistically, but I can't remember a better receiver in the last 15 years. I mean, really good ones, but his hands are unbelievable.
No, I think he's great, but I feel like we do this with receivers every couple of years. There's a new guy. So for a while, Julio Jones was the best.
Sorry, and Julio. He's on
DeAndre
that,
Hopkins.
He's on
now
that
it's
same
Devontae
level.
Adams.
He's on that same level.
Right. There's about three
or four
guys.
Don't forget Calvin Johnson, who was an absolute freak throughout his career.
Yeah. But Devontae is so good because he doesn't drop balls. He's an unbelievable route runner. Now, he's got a Hall of Famer throwing to him, so the balls are always there.
Right.
But some of the plays he made after the catch yesterday was incredible.
And I think he's missed either two games or like a game and a half. Maybe two and a half games, and he still has 84 catches. He's already over 1,000 yards, and he's been in the end zone 13 times.
Yeah.
But back to Wentz. So he's been sacked 50 times this year. But the crazy thing about Wentz, like, I think it's hard to give up on a guy. If you looked at his numbers the last 3 years, he never threw more than 7 interceptions. This year he's got 15. Mm-hmm. And, you know, last year he was a 4,000-yard passer, played all 16 games, 27 touchdowns to 7 picks. So I think I would just grasp that this is an outlier, that the offensive line has been in shambles, and that he can get it back because there's a reason they gave him that huge contract.
Well, he was coming off that unbelievable year where he was an MVP candidate. But they drafted a quarterback in the second round.
Understood.
And I think that's affecting him.
Could be.
I really do. I mean, again, they've had injuries. The offensive line's been awful, but he's not making any plays, JP. Even with bad offensive lines, good quarterbacks can make plays. He doesn't make any good plays.
Real quick, just to kind of give you some of the NFC picture, the Vikings are in the playoff race after beating the Jags 27-24. It wasn't an overly impressive win for the Vikings.
It went to overtime.
It went to overtime. Kirk ends up with 3 touchdown passes, but he had a pick 6 to start the second half.
Right,
which put Jacksonville back in the game. Mike Glennon wasn't particularly great. Threw a pick in overtime.
And he had a fumble. That was a bad pick. But he did drive them down to tie the game with the two-point conversion. He made some really nice throws on that drive. He just had the bad pick. It was awful in the overtime.
And speaking of stud receivers, back to the Vikings for a second. Justin Jefferson is legit. He's already over 1,000 yards. He's got 7 touchdowns. I mean, people were asking, what are you doing getting rid of Stephon Diggs in the offseason? Justin Jefferson has slid in there perfectly as a rookie.
But here's the problem with Minnesota. What takes them so long to get going? They had 6 points at half. And they had
Cook was scuffling early. I don't know.
They had like two or three three and outs. I mean, they just looked bad. And then they finally put it together to win. They were lucky to win that game.
So they right now would be the final wild card team because the Cardinals lost yesterday. So your NFC picture, you got the Saints as your 1 seed. The Packers are the 2 seed at 9-3. The Rams right now are winning the NFC West with their win yesterday and Seattle losing. Giants, of course, winning the NFC East. And your wild card teams are the Seahawks, the Bucks, the Vikings. Cardinals and Niners still in it. The Bears, come on, please.
Big one for the Niners tonight. Oh, the Bears have lost. Is it 6 straight?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how are you're up 10 with 4 minutes to go. Stafford has the ball on his own 4, and you lose that game.
And then two big games really to mention in the AFC that had some playoff implications. The Browns beat the Titans. The final score is not indicative of what happened.
Oh, so deceptive.
The final score was 41-35, but Baker Mayfield had 4 touchdown passes in the first half. They were up huge. Ryan Tannehill put up some garbage numbers in the second half. But the Browns improved to 9-3, so they're your top wild card team in the AFC. Titans still have control of their division. The other game I wanted to mention, well, we talked about the Raiders comeback win. They had to do that to stay alive. They're on the outside looking in. But with the Derek Carr to Henry Ruggs touchdown there at the end of the game, they stay alive at 7-5. The Colts beat the Texans. That was kind of a crazy ending, too, because the Texans are in position to win the game, and it's a bad snap slash fumble by Deshaun Watson in the end.
Terrible snap.
Which is the deciding factor.
I can't put that on Watson at all. It was a terrible snap. But how
and
about
then I guess you have
if you,
to
if
also
you had the Houston over, if you had the Houston Indy over at 15.5, you had 44 points at half. You know how many points they scored in the second half?
Two. Dos.
You can't even believe you lost that
game. Oh, you're counting your money already.
And I guess you have to mention that the Patriots just stomped the Chargers, shut them out. Cam Newton had a big rushing game for them. So they're technically still alive in the AFC. But the AFC is a lot tougher than the NFC. So you've got New England, Baltimore, who's 6-5, of course, playing Tuesday, and the Raiders, who are 7-5. They're all on the outside looking in for the playoff spots. The Colts right now would have the final playoff spot at 8-4, with the Dolphins also 8-4 into the playoffs.
The only
Anthony Lynn coaching move I applauded yesterday, and there are very few when you get blasted 45-0, was keeping Justin Herbert in when they're down 45-0. Because I needed every Nubbins fantasy point that he was going to give me.
You didn't get a lot of them, though.
He only gave me like six, but I need every one of them.
What did I mention, Jason?
Well, the Dolphin-Bengal game with the same guy drilling the Dolphin punt returner twice and not allowing him to catch the ball. And then, of course, the scuffling at midfield after that happened.
Is his name Jonathan Taylor? Like, I feel like there's a different Jonathan Taylor. I'd have to check it.
Who?
The guy on the Dolphins that committed the penalties.
No, it was Mike Thomas, I think.
Mike Thomas. I knew it was a very generic name.
He drilled the Dolphin punt returner twice, not allowing him to catch the ball. Twice! Yep. He wasn't thrown out of the game, by the way, but three other players were thrown out of the game. Flores was out there. He was beefing with some of the Bengal players. It was crazy. It paused the game for like 20 minutes.
All right, I think when we come back, EB, we should be playing the music. It is a game day. Mm. Washington has won their last two. Yes, they're playing the Steelers, but let's hear from some Washington fans. Who out there thinks Washington has a chance to win tonight? 800-636-1067. Valdez, you got to play the music. Get people hyped up. It's game day here on a football Monday. Can Washington get a win, which they need after the Giants got the win yesterday against Seattle? 800-636-1067. Want to hear from some Washington football team fans next here on the Junkies.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.